Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today, we're diving deep into a challenge that I think resonates with so many of us. It's about navigating your career, you know, growth and sustainability. When everything around us and organizations seems to be shifting, how do you even define success when, let's be honest, the goalposts seem to be, well, constantly moving? That's really the core question we're tackling today. And our goal with this deep dive is really to pull out the key insights, the golden nuggets, and some practical steps from a really fascinating conversation we just had. We talked to people who are right in the middle of these challenges, someone from a big American tech company, a career services expert from a business school, and others with deep experience in leadership development. So we think this deep dive will give you, our listener, a kind of shortcut, a way to grasp the core problems, get some practical tools, and maybe find a fresh mindset for, you know, proactively managing your own career journey. So where did we start seeing some light shed on this? Well, right away, we heard this common frustration. This feeling, described as a perpetually frustrating sense that you're never actually successful in large organizations. Especially when, as one person put it, the hurdle to go up is extremely high to the point of being prohibitive. You know, feeling stuck despite working hard.
Yeah, and that feeling of being stuck, hitting that wall, it often boils down to a really fundamental question. What is your leverage? Understanding your leverage means really getting a grip on your unique position within how the company sees success and, crucially, how they perceive what you bring to the table. Sometimes it's about figuring out those unspoken needs of senior leaders, not just your official KPIs.
Unspoken needs? Like what specifically?
Well, maybe you're the person who can bridge gaps between teams that don't talk well. Or you can take complex data and just make it simple for executives so they can make a decision. Those are leverage points people often miss.
That's a really powerful way to think about leverage.
Okay.
And connecting to that, one participant defined success as cross-organizational impact. Mm-hmm. So being able to positively influence something that isn't, you know, directly under your control,
yeah,
whether that's through a new product idea, managing people effectively, or delivering some kind of step change for the business,
mm-hmm,
making a difference beyond just your own tasks.
Right. And building on that, you see career advisors often framing success for their clients around, well, hitting real timelines, finding genuine engagement, recognizing the impact of their work. Ultimately, the goal is helping that individual become a better version of myself, someone who doesn't just react to market trends, but actually grows, adapts effectively, and, well, thrives through it all. It's personal and professional.
Okay, but here's where it gets tricky, right? This critical issue we heard about. The misalignment between what you do and how the organization measures it. We heard this really stark example, someone working on these incredible complex commercial proposals, huge strategic importance, tons of work, but after a whole year, their main KPI, the thing on paper, was just two proposals. That's it. And you can imagine the higher ups just see that low number too. It perfectly shows that disconnect, doesn't it?
It absolutely does. It must be incredibly frustrating, almost soul-crushing for that person. And it really highlights this core problem. How do you align your actual value, your real impact, with organizational systems that might be, well, frankly, a bit broken? Often, organizations lack processes or KPIs that are truly fit for purpose. And this leads directly to these unintended consequences.
Mm.
It makes it incredibly difficult for individuals to see a clear path forward. So the challenge becomes, how do you translate your deep impact into metrics the organization actually gets and rewards?
Exactly. So if the system feels broken, what can we control? How do we fix our side of it? And that seems to lead straight into needing specific skills.
Yeah.
Especially people skills. We hear this really powerful insight that people often get promoted initially based on their technical chops, right? But then to get to the higher levels, it flips. It's based on their people skills.
Yeah.
And conversely, when someone hits a ceiling or even gets let go, it's usually not about their technical ability. It's the people side.
It really makes you wonder, doesn't it? Why isn't that prioritized more from the get-go?
Yeah, and it points to this fundamental shift we're seeing. Everything's changing so fast. Individuals now have to learn how to manage their own careers. You have to take accountability. You really can't just wait for the organization to lay out a path for you anymore. It's just not reliable.
So what does taking accountability look like practically?
Well, it means not just waiting for that annual review, for starters. It means actively seeking out mentors, maybe people outside your direct team. It means researching internal moves before they're even formally posted, proactively setting up, say, career check-ins with your manager to talk long-term fit, not just the immediate tasks, right? Being proactive. That connects directly to something else we discussed, the importance of the coach conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Getting that frequent ongoing feedback, having those signposts and headlights earlier in the process, as someone put it, instead of waiting a whole year to find out you were maybe slightly off course, makes a huge difference. And another really interesting concept that came up was job crafting. This idea that you can find more success, more fulfillment, by really understanding your strengths and then consciously deploying them more within the job you already have. Finding ways to shape your role around what you're good at and what actually energizes you. It's less about getting a new job, more about changing your job from within.
It's a great idea, job crafting. The reality, though, as we heard from the participant in that big tech company, for some, it's only really possible tactically, small adjustments, not big strategic changes, because the roles are often quite standardized and there just aren't the resources or maybe the permission for big side projects or major shifts.
So another constraint within the system.
Exactly. It really highlights that challenge of maneuvering within these sometimes very rigid corporate structures. They might talk flexibility, but the practice can be different.
And while we're talking about navigating work, we have to touch on life outside work too. That old idea of work-life balance feels, well, kind of outdated, doesn't it? Like you're always juggling. Instead, we are people focusing more on work-life integration.
Integration, yeah.
A more fluid approach, yep. Trying to find a fit that aligns with your personal needs, how technology fits in. It's more about blending, not trying to keep things totally separate.
Which feels more realistic for many people today.
Okay, so we've talked about the landscape, the skills.
Mm-hmm.
How do we actually turn these insights into action? Let's get into some tools and strategies. Mm-hmm. One really practical tool that came up was the gaps grid. Have you heard of this?
I have, yeah. It's quite useful.
So the idea is it helps you park in place what you have now with what you want in the future.
Mm.
So you literally map it out. Skills you have versus skills you want, parts of your job you like versus parts you want to do more of. Even how people see you now versus how you want to be perceived.
Like, okay, I'm seen as the detail person, but I want to be seen as more strategic, that kind of thing.
Exactly. And creates this visual map of where you are and where you're aiming.
And that identified gap, that's the key thing. That gap then directly informs your learning pathway, or you might call it your personal development plan. And crucially, you can then communicate this plan clearly to HR, to your manager. It helps you ask for specific support, specific projects, things that will actually help you bridge that specific gap. It makes your development really intentional.
Makes sense. And it makes it visible to others who can potentially help. Another valuable set of tools mentioned were personality profiles or individual personality inventories for building self-awareness.
Oh, definitely. Self-awareness is fundamental.
We heard this really striking example, actually. A 26-year-old who is really struggling in a tough job market. Through one of these profiles and some coaching, they identified that something called emotional negativity was kind of tripping them up. So they learned to create these micro strategies, small specific actions to manage those tendencies in high pressure situations, like job interviews.
Micro strategies, like what?
Things like having a specific pre-interview routine to calm nerves or preparing specific phrases to use if they felt themselves getting flustered. Small things, but they made a huge difference in how this person came across.
That's a fantastic example of self-awareness leading to practical change. And it underlines a really crucial point about these tools. Using them is not a one-off. It's not like you do the profile and you're done. It requires deliberate practice. You have to consciously work on the areas you identify. Maybe just focus on two or three things, but consistently.
Like building a muscle.
Yeah.
You have to keep at it.
Precisely. Consistency and intention are absolutely key if you want real lasting change.
And importantly, you don't have to do this all alone. The role of coaches, mentors, support systems, it's vital. The science of learning, going way back, clearly shows that getting help from others, getting that different perspective, helps pull you along further than you might have been able to do on your own.
Absolutely. They provide accountability, different insights. It accelerates the process. This also connects to something else we touched on, the often informal, almost tribal nature of how careers really develop inside organizations.
Tribal. Meaning?
Meaning it's not always written down in the employee handbook. There are unwritten rules, unspoken expectations, informal networks. Understanding that tribal knowledge, who holds influence, how decisions really get made, who you need to talk to, that's often crucial for actually moving forward effectively.
Right, navigating the official channels and the unofficial ones.
Yeah.
And what's really striking is just how common these struggles are. We heard from top coaches, senior leaders, They're identifying proactive career management as the top issue people are wrestling with right now. So if you're listening and feeling some of this, well, you are definitely not alone. It's a widespread challenge.
Yeah.
Okay, so as we start to wrap up this deep dive, let's maybe pull together the core takeaways. What stands out? For me, it's definitely this need for individual accountability, taking ownership of your career, the huge power of self-awareness, really knowing yourself, the usefulness of practical tools like that gaps grid idea, and just the absolute necessity of continuous deliberate learning and adaptation.
I agree with all of those, and I'd add that it really reiterates how managing your career is very personal. It's driven by your own personal interests and motivation. There's no single right way. Not everybody looks the same in terms of what success or growth means. Your path is yours.
That's a great point. It's unique to each of us. And maybe here's a final thought for you, our listener, to chew on. Given this constant, maybe even accelerating, pace of change we've been talking about, that traditional idea of a linear career path, climbing a ladder step by step, it really feels like it's no longer viable. Not really. Instead, it feels more like, well, like we basically have to reinvent ourselves repeatedly. It's an ongoing journey of adapting, learning, maybe pivoting.
Reinventing ourselves repeatedly. That's a powerful thought.
It is, isn't it? Embracing that fluidity might actually be the key. And if that idea resonates with you, there's actually a great resource that explores this very theme, the book, The Squiggly Career. It really digs into how that traditional career path isn't no longer, as they put it. Worth checking out if this topic interests you.
Good recommendation.
So thank you for joining us on this deep dive. We hope it's given you some valuable insights and practical ideas. We encourage you to continue your own journey of informed exploration and proactive career management.